Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
Colossians 3, I'm going to read maybe like 11 verses or something. Somebody just likes the reading of the word. I heard that. Yeah, you want to get books on tape. All right, here we go. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Think about what's being written here as we're reading it. Seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. That's interesting, isn't it? We don't usually like to talk about the wrath of God in the New Testament, but there it is, right there in your face. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 7, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to each other, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed, as active present participle, right there, is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Amen. A renewal in which there is no distinction, ancient, between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. Now, help us to understand it. I want to just point out a couple quick things here. Number one, if you were raised with Christ, he says, if you indeed were raised with Christ, he actually says, since you have been raised with Christ, it's a rhetorical question. It's written to a church, a people like us who have already accepted that Jesus is Lord, that he died and was raised from the grave. Seek then things that are above. A relationship with the Lord, saints, lifts us to a new place. Amen? Anybody in a new place? Did the Lord pull you out and pull you up? Did he take you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a rock to stay? Seek then things which are above. If you're writing things down, write this. The things we add to our lives should be native to the land of the living. I need a volunteer who likes donuts. Eeny, meeny, miny, Brian Anderson in the back. Why not? I saw that hand. It was like, you didn't even know what it was for, and it was up, and I'm like, that's a man of faith right there. Don't worry. I'm not going to have you be doing like what the United does when they get volunteers and Crown. My son came home from Crown the other night. He was like, I ate 2 scorpions tonight. Down here first. Okay, so when you first are introduced to the Lord, he meets you where you're at. How many of you know the Bible says he loved us first, right? Okay, I hope you didn't eat breakfast. But I feel like donuts, and I know there's some anti-donut people in the room, and we'll have a special time of prayer for you later. But there are some donuts on the floor right here, and they're good donuts. They're fresh donuts. They were purchased 15 minutes ago when we decided to do this illustration. So, Brian, just pick up that box of donuts. And here's what I want you to do. Just open those up and just begin to distribute those as you see fit. If anybody wants any donuts, help yourself to them too. There's some youth over here. actually, this works perfectly with the illustration. So, yeah, I love this. Make sure you thank Pastor Brian for the donuts as he nourishes your soul. That's powerful. That's power. That's like a homeless ministry right there almost. I just want to point out that Pastor Brian did not get any donuts. I don't think anyway, unless you inhaled one somewhere in the mix. But here's what the Lord does. He meets us where we are at when we're on the floor. How many of you, when you first got saved, maybe somebody got this wrong, maybe somebody who led you to the Lord got this wrong, but I want you to know the Father's heart, when you first accepted the gift of salvation, when you first accepted the truth of Jesus Christ and the hope of glory, it was where you were at. Some of you were in prison, literally. Some of you were high, literally. Some of you are high this morning, and you need Jesus. But wherever you were in the middle of an affair on your spouse. You were lost in addiction or in oppression or bondage. And the Lord met you there with a box of donuts. But he never wanted you to stay there, did he? And so for that, there is a Hansel and Gretel type trail, Brian, for you to follow. I don't know if you'd just consider, yeah. There you go. You don't even have to. Oh, he's actually, yeah, he's going for it. There it is. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have some marriage counseling for you guys after this too. There you go. Yep. Okay, here we go. You can bring some back to your wife. Just put them in your pocket. That's fine. I'm just kidding. Don't. But if you didn't notice what was on the floor, he did put it. He's a boss. If you didn't notice what was on the floor, and I don't know, I know we're like a pretty, I'll say, yeah, he knows right where to be. Stay right there for 1 second, Brian. If you've ever been around our church during a fall flannel fest, then you know that we're a pretty redneck church. There's a lot of like country folk in here. There's a lot of, there are people that drive tractors to church at this church. And if you're as redneck as me, then it really doesn't matter how much money you have. You love Walmart. There's something about Walmart that just makes sense to me. No, Sarah? No. Okay. No, you don't love Walmart. These donuts that the youth got were from Walmart. And I know the youth, especially our King's Academy youth, they're not too good for Walmart. You guys, I watch you guys after school, you go over there, you raid the little fried chicken pans at the deli. You come back over with enough chicken to feed a small army, and they just grease the whole dining room table in the river lobby. It's just coated in a layer of grease. These donuts were from Walmart. The Walmart bakery, made fresh, powerful, powerful donuts. And yet, they're pretty low on the totem pole. When I told Jamal to pick up donuts, I said, you can either get this first round from like Walmart or like Cumberland Farms. Anybody like Cumberland Farms donuts? I was like, all right, okay, we're still friends. But when the Lord says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your sights on things that are above. If we're really doing that, if we're setting our sights on things that are above, what that means is he's calling us past the Walmart donut. He's calling us past the Cumberland Farms donut that's probably sat in the glass case for the last 6 weeks and somehow still looks exactly the same that it did. That should tell you something about what kind of, you know, wizardry is in that donut. He calls you up to a new place. And in that new place, if we could have a camera up here, I just want everybody to see what's in the new place, Shata Basanda. Could we just get... Somebody woke up and made the donuts this morning. You know what I'm saying, John Wilson? Yes. John, help yourself to one of these donuts. I feel like you already set your sights on things that are above. Don't take the jelly. Because you the jam in my jelly roll, Brian Anderson. He calls you to a place of variety. He calls you to a place where what he nourishes you with is different than the past. And what happens with us is we follow Jesus to the next place because we decided to follow Jesus. But how weird would it be for Brian to stand up here at this box of like wonderful, beautiful, like frosted donuts with sprinkles and jelly filled rolls. And I don't know how that one made it in. Yeah, that's weird. Nobody eats those. And you know it because you go to Dunkin's at the end of the day. You know the donuts that are like nobody touched them. They're still there on the tray. You know the ones nobody eats. But how weird would it be for us to keep walking back down the stairs back to the old box? Where are my Walmart donuts? Did you guys save me any? Where are those Walmart donuts at? All those glazed donuts. I feel like sometimes as a pastor, right? As somebody in ministry, I'm walking with people. We're all walking together and we're going from place to place. And it's like you're walking with somebody and you're like, yeah, look at that donut. Look what the Father left you. Look where he's calling you. Look at that. Oh my gosh, the donut hole there. There were donut holes down here, but Brian scarfed them all down. And look, we're going up. We go from glory to glory to donut to donut to donut. And this is the joy of our lives. You talk to anybody in ministry and it is the greatest blessing to walk with people on the trail of breadcrumbs. I remember Dave Andre, you preached on this. You talked about breadcrumbs and how the Lord would just give you enough to keep you coming in pursuit of him, to seek him while he may be found. And as he is revealed, donut hole by donut hole, don't take this illustration too far. If you're like a health food nut, you're like, I don't want him then. Keep following the trail and he takes you up higher. But with that same blessing comes the devastation of saying, look at these great donuts. And then you go to look and the person's gone because they went back down the trail, backwards through the woods, over the river, back over to the Walmart box. And they just open it up. And you realize, wait a minute, there's not even manna in here anymore. So what we do is we just start doing this right here. It's still good, Pastor. It's still good. It's still good. I'm going to keep going back. And that's what happens. We keep going back because we remember the day that he met us and it blessed us. And we remember the goosebumps we got. And we remember the joy that flooded our soul the day we found Jesus. But he didn't leave you there. And he never intended for you to live off the frosting that was stuck to the inside of the box for the rest of your walk. So he brings you up and he places before you a different kind of meal, one with more variety, one with a lot more nutrients. There's a lot more nutrients, vitamins, I would even say. There's fresh fruit in that jelly. That's right. Fresh fruit in that jelly roll. But even there, I hear the Lord. And see, this place right here, this is kind of where we are when we're just kind of walking out, just that sort of Christian life. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'm in church on Sundays. My kids are enrolled at King's. And, you know, I serve at the whatever ministry I'm part of. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay there either. He'll sustain us while we're there. He may be sustaining you while you're there. But he calls us up higher. Brian, could you just... I'm glad. No, that's how it works. It's fine. He calls us up higher. And there's a box of donuts up there for you. Can you reach them? Yeah.
Those are PVD donuts right there.
Those donuts are boutique-y. They're like $17 a piece.
Go for it. Help yourself.
We have you behind that screen up there because your life is now hidden with Christ. At some point, you get self-conscious about how many donuts you eat in one morning. So, yeah, fortunately, that's back there. But nobody hides from Dave's team. Nobody hides from Dave's team. Now, the crazy thing is, at the top of that place, at the top of that mountain, at the place where he calls you, in the cleft of the rock, where he hides you, where he brings you, where he lures you with more donut holes, he's got something special for you there. But here we go. We spend a lot of time at this church talking about ministry, the call to ministry. That's why we couldn't just do two different boxes of donuts. Because there's more for you than what America runs on. You know what I'm saying? There's something else the kingdom runs on. And I actually asked Chris Eckholm for just one baked good out of his kitchen this morning. I was going to put it on the roof of the Macy's and send a camera crew up there, but Chris just got back from a long trip and his oven broke while he was away. So he couldn't whip something out for us. If you've ever had any of Chris Eckholm's baked goods, you know that they are the nectar of the gods. But I'll say this morning, and you can take that box with you, bring some to the back row. Thank you, Brian. Everybody give it up for Brian Anderson. There you go. I trust you to be led of the Lord in your distribution of those donuts. Or to not, whatever seems to work. But saints, so many of us, we live our lives between here and there. We live our lives running back and forth, back and forth, looking for more donut holes down here. Listen, if you were here in December of like 2 years ago, then you remember when we first started to talk about the fivefold ministry gifts and how when we had reorged our church ministries around the fivefold gifts. And I started to talk about how, you know, churches that were just led by the teaching gifts looked this way. And churches that were led by the evangelism gifts looked this way. And we talked about churches that were, because there's been an awakening of the prophetic. And there were folks in Pentecostal charismatic circles, and we get every prophetic newsletter that comes down the pipe, and we develop an obsession for the prophetic. And the prophetic are like these donut holes. It's revelation that leads us closer to where he's calling us. It's a window, it's a glimpse into heaven, it's a taste, just a taste, just enough to wet your whistler to keep you going on to the next thing. What do you have next? What's after that? What do you want to show me then? And he's calling us higher with it. The problem is when we get so obsessed with just the hunt for prophetic revelation, when we get so obsessed with just what it is that he showed us, where he showed us, our whole lives begin revolving around the steps that we took along the way instead of where it was that we were meant to go. Saints, seek that which is above. The things we add to our lives should be native to the land of the living. They say the people who live the longest, literally, like the most longevitist people, are folks who live on a diet that is native to the land in which they live. Because your body has genetically grown to adapt to the local diet. And so when you're eating, and we look at, you know, you look at people and you're like, well, how is it that a farmer can eat like bacon and eggs every morning and the rest of us are all dying of cholesterol? This guy's out like working the fields into his mid-80s. How does that work, Zach? Well, it works like this. Because the place that he's been called to, the place he's operating in, his body works through those calories and that cholesterol. When you sit in an office every day, now if you can just bring this metaphor into your walk with the Lord, you'll know what I mean. When there's no activity, when there's no burning of the calories, when there's no working off that which he's put in us, we come up here to this place and we just want to stay here. The only way these donuts work for you is if you keep walking. You know who you are. The only way these donuts work, the only way those donuts work is when we never stop walking. If you sit down, what is it? Cursed is he that stands in the place of sinners, that sits in the seat of scoffers. Right up front, the psalmist reminds us, you don't stop. The second you stop, those donuts become bad for you. But trust me, as a man of God, I'm going to tell you, if you keep walking, donuts are just fine. They're just fine. Here's the deal. What's native to the land of the living? What's naturally occurring? And when I say naturally occurring, what did the Lord provide for you? I also heard this interesting fact. See, my kids watch a lot of like animal TV, like Discovery Channel, and it's all like, you know, Coyote Peterson and these guys that are getting stung and venomous snakes and shark bites and everything else. I heard that any venomous creature, plant, any poisonous plant in nature, naturally occurring in nature, that it is growing within 10 feet of its antidote. Anything you touch that causes a skin irritant or rash or worse, that within 10 feet of that thing, if it's naturally occurring and you didn't like bring it in a potted plant and give it to your ex-girlfriend or something, within 10 feet is the antidote for the venom that is naturally occurring in that plant. What kind of God do we serve? What kind of God created the land that he called you to and in it brings the manna that will sustain you through it? If you just remember the story, if you remember the story, the manna didn't last. Anytime you tried to save it, other than for the Sabbath, when they weren't to go out and collect it, anytime you try to save it, it didn't keep overnight. Didn't matter what kind of Rubbermaid, Tupperware, Ziploc, you put it in, refrigerated, nothing. It did not last. Why? Because it wasn't meant to. And then when they get to the river, when they cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, guess what? It completely stopped there. Why? Because they kept going higher. They followed the manna. They followed the donut holes through the wilderness where the Lord provided for them. And one day it stopped because they matured into a place of working the fields they had been called to. See, the church prefers the wilderness. The church would rather be out just... This is what manna looks like when you're in the wilderness. If you could just bear with me here for a second. Here we go. I'm in my tent out in the wilderness. Morning comes. I'm feeling hungry. Thank you, Lord. Slowly, my pant size is increasing. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm not going to do it again. I want us to understand that when we just keep using the altar, when we just keep using Tuesday night prayer meetings, when we keep using our greenhouses as this place to go air out our dirty laundry because we haven't learned how to get higher where the Lord calls us to, we're defeating the purpose of the call. We're neutering the potency of the call of God, of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And if you're writing things down, we welcome tension into our lives when we keep stooping to engage with what once seemed so appropriate and sensible. We welcome tension into our lives. Some of you are like, why my life is such a mess? Pastor, you don't know about my life. It's a mess. And I'm not just throwing this blanket statement out that this is the reason why everybody's in a disaster, but I will say we welcome tension into our lives when we keep stooping to engage with what once seemed so appropriate and sensible. Well, this worked when I first got saved. Well, you're not first saved. He goes on this laundry list of things, and nobody's going to like them. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Some of your Bibles say fornication there. And I wish that this was a different time in history when we didn't have to stop and talk about something like that, but we do. And some of us, we think, well, if it's not intercourse, then it's fine. But you know what? The word, the Greek word porneo, the Greek word for fornication or immorality that we translate to those words, do you know what it really means? It means to prostitute your body to the lust of another. It is not just reduced down to this simple little, oh, well, if it's not intercourse, then it's fine. No, it's subjecting yourself to the lust of another. And I as graphic and as hard as this is, I think it's so important that as the church, that we start to re-expose ourselves to what purity really looks like, to what purity really means. Because we spent a good portion of worship trying to break out of shame. We spent a good portion, our first half an hour of church this morning was because the Lord wanted to release people from shame. And it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm so grateful for a church that will stop and check and say, Lord, is this what you want to do? And when people are hearing that call, then we get around them and we pray. It's powerful. It's awesome. But the problem is if we keep engaging with what once seemed appropriate, well, the Lord met me down here when I was fornicating. What's the problem? I got saved. Everything was, I got filled. Everything was right there. That box of donuts was good. I'd rather roll over and. Put off the things that would quench the old thirst. Immorality. Uncleanness, if you have the New Living Translation. One of those is passion. Evil desires, covetousness, because it is idolatry. Saints, each one of these things we engage down. Why? Why do what draws us back? Because we survived on them. As sheep, you know, maybe you've seen a picture of Jesus the shepherd and you've seen him with the staff and he's left the 99 and he's out in some dangerous place full of briars and wolves and bears and he's hanging over a cliff rescuing a sheep that's fallen. If you could for just a minute identify with that sheep, if you could for a minute think of yourself, the one that's just been hanging on the side of a cliff, all sorts of tension in your life. All sorts of fear. If I just don't look down, it's like Tommy Boy, hold fast, little root. Hold fast, little root. Well, we learn how to survive out there. We learn how to survive on things that we were never meant to survive on. You start to eat whatever's there. You're not in the land of the living. You're in the land where things go to die. Where we medicate pain with things like immorality and uncleanness and passions and evil desires, greed and lust. We medicate pain. We numb that sense of, oh my gosh, I'm living on the edge. When he pulls us out of that thing, this command, this letter to this young church is put off the things. Why are you bringing with you the food that you lived on where he first found you? Put off the things that you used to medicate the pain, that you used to give yourself the false security that you were full. And from there, he says, The first things were put to death, right? He says, put to death those things. Put them to death because they're extensions of your flesh. And then in the next set, he says, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying. So the first things were things that needed to be put to death because it's not you anymore. And because those things aren't you, now you take off the garments. You take off the garments stained with the ditches you've been pulled from. See, it's a lot easier to keep going back when you're still covered in the filth. You know, we wrote a song here, and we do it occasionally, called Grave Clothes. And it was written in a time when it felt like the Lord's biggest issue was not getting us out of the grave, it was getting the grave out of us. And I think that this is just one of those, it's like just the condition, the human condition. I'm alive, thank God I'm alive. And so we're Lazarus and we're wrapped up in gauze and walking around like doing the Thriller. We still smell like death. We still look like death. We still feel just like we felt in the tomb, but now we're out and we settle for out. And the Lord said, no, I didn't just want you out. I want you free. I want you free. There's a big difference between out and free. So put those things to death and now take these things off. Because when we walk up these stairs, we're bringing that ditch with us. Pastor John just said it on a Tuesday night. When you step in dog crap, it doesn't matter where you go. You smell it. You're like, did a dog poop in here? Oh, doesn't matter where it is. You could walk into, you know, the Taj Mahal and you're like, does anybody else smell that? What is that? I keep climbing higher. We go from glory to... Ew! What is that? Well, for as long as we're smelling it, for as long as we're wearing it, for as long as we're stained in it, why not keep going back down to it? Why not keep going back to eating it? It's easier to go back down when you stay dirty. So our spirit man wants to climb higher in Jesus Christ. And the Lord has something better at every level. And this is where it starts to get really tricky, because I think even in a real basic Christianity, we can kind of understand the leaving behind sin, like blatant sin, and pushing on towards righteousness, like our version of righteousness. But what about when the things you leave behind aren't necessarily bad? What about when you're at this level? You're not just going back to old sinful life patterns that you used to, but what about this level when just normal Christianity is what we wanna, it works. It looks a lot better than that. When we keep comparing this to what all those youth just ate. I feel bad for you guys. I'm just gonna bring you these better donuts. Yeah. You want one of those? There you go. That's for sitting so nice and quiet. Yeah, especially, I don't think you can have sugar, but that's okay, yeah. Just these young people over here, yeah, thanks, teenagers. The deal is that not everything behind you, not everything you were called to leave behind is bad. And there's some of you in this place, and what the Lord is saying to leave behind and go to a new glory, it's actually not bad at all. It's actually like something fruitful or fruity, like that jelly-filled donut. It's something that made sense. It's something that was appropriate. It's something that was good. It's something that the Lord actually gifted me in. Why am I going to leave behind something the Lord gifted me in? Why am I going to leave behind something I'm good at? That can't be right. That can't be God. But we need to talk about this because of how many folks in, we're not a church of a bunch of brand new Christians. There's a lot of people in here. You've been in ministry, like some of you, vocational ministry at some point in your not that long ago. And you're wondering, why, what happened to that? Where is that? Where am I now? And if you've been faithful to keep climbing and not to go back, and not to go back to where you used to be, but you're second guessing what it is that you've had to leave behind, I want to say this to you. You don't always leave things behind because they're bad. Sometimes you leave things behind for the promise of something better. And frustration and fear and doubt sets in when we forget that promise. Frustration and fear and doubt set in, and the enemy would love to just poke you and say, huh, remember when you used to be this guy? You see that chump up there with the microphone? Remember when it was you at the pulpit? Remember when you were preaching? Remember when people were listening to you? Where's that guy? You had to leave that behind because you're not good enough for it. No, I'll say you left that behind for the promise of something even better. You left behind that public, oh, see, it's our world metric, isn't it? He who has the microphone has the power. Nope. He who has the power has the power. He who walks in the fullness of the Spirit has the power, no matter where he walks. Yeah, no, I get it. It sucks. Nobody likes that truth. You always know the ones, yeah, it's like, just, I guess so. The promise of something better. Would you stand with me to your feet? I believe that this word, it's on a, it's applicable on a micro level, like where you're at as a child of God. But on a slightly more macro of our church, it's the same. Because I do believe with my whole heart that the Lord is doing this to us. Hey, you who've been obsessed with the revelation that you've gotten, you who would rather stay lost in the woods as long as you're living on donut holes, you, come up a little bit higher. Come up a little bit higher. Hey, you living that average Christian Joe, you're doing pretty good. You're holding your marriage together. Your kids are going to VBS this summer and summer camp. Come with me. Come with me. Come up a little bit higher. You know what's wild? That word above, when it says seek the things which are above, the very first place it's a Greek word, anu. And the very first place it's ever used in all of Scripture is in John chapter 2, verse 7. When Jesus tells the servants, it says, Jesus saith unto the servants, go and fill the pitchers. And it says, they went and filled them to the brim. And that word brim is anew. Go and fill them to that which is above. Because when we can be filled like that, when we can be filled in a way that everything in us becomes new wine, we're not wrestling anymore with the past. We're not wrestling anymore with whether or not those donuts down there that I can't even see anymore, partly because you guys inhaled them. I spent too long licking frosting off a cellophane lid. That's not what he's called you to. He's called you to a place of fullness to the brim, where everything in us becomes new wine. everything in us. The prayer of more of you and less of me is done. Zach, I can't imagine that, this side of glory. Well, then stop imagining this side of glory. Get your heart, get your head, get your spirit, man, on that side of the river. The place where we don't live on manna anymore, but we have been entrusted with fields. We have been entrusted with promises. Promises that, by the way, require work, that require sowing and reaping. Promises that wake us up early in the morning. Well, Zach, when I was down here living on what America runs on, I didn't have to wake up that early. You know what I'm saying? Like, I set my alarm clock, I get up, I get ready, and I go. I'm more of like a Duncan kind of Christian. He's calling you to the next glory. If you're in this room this morning and you hear that call and you know the Lord has some PVD donuts for you and you've set your sights on them and you're running after them and you're doing your stair climbs, I want to get around you this morning. Meet me down at this altar. And if you're coming down for the donuts, there's none left.
Created from dust. You came and you lived.
Some of us, what you're leaving behind is not an old sinful self. You're not just leaving like, oh, the immorality and the passions and the lust of the flesh behind. If you're choosing to accept this, take a couple steps forward, a couple more steps forward. Don't worry, I promise I'll spit on you. A couple more steps. Yeah, because here's the deal, and I want to say this to you if you came down here. Here's the truth of it. What you're walking away from, it doesn't make sense to walk away from it. There is nothing wrong with that box of donuts. Those were beautiful sprinkles. They were perfect. Why leave those? For the promise of something better. Because there's a little bit of space left in your life and the Lord wants to fill it to the brim, to the max. Because what he's changing in you will require ultimately all of you. And what we want to do is we want to give the Lord just a little drip at a time. Just a bit, 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 bit. Work with it. That's what I'm comfortable giving right now. Work with it. And you know what? Our God is so good. Our God is so graceful. He will work with it. The church of Jesus, the capital C big church, tragically, it is full of people who are getting worked with one drop at a time. But the Lord is saying, if you give me all the way to the brim, all the way to that which is above. Zach, I don't know if my lungs can handle the air up there where I'm being called to. I don't know if I'm not really equipped for that kind of a hike. I don't really have that kind of stuff with me. I want you to know this morning that the Lord has everything needed. And there's a donut hole on every step of the way. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Lord, I pray over my brothers and sisters here this morning. And I thank you that we are a church that's not just commissioning folks who have graduated high school or folks that have graduated college. And Lord, that with the incredible gift of being able to stand up here with people who have set aside years of their lives to your word and to your call to ministry. God, I thank you that beyond even that, Lord, that just the average life of every believer, Lord, that you are calling us higher. You are calling us from glory to glory to glory. And saints, I want to encourage you this morning. Begin to envision the next glory. Ask the Lord, what does the next place look like? Don't get caught up on what you understand or don't understand about here. Don't get caught up on what that donut hole just tasted like or what it rolled in before you ate it. Don't get caught up in you know, what the calorie count was of the last donut. Don't stay where you are. Get caught up in what is already up. Set your sights on that which is above, that which is past the place you are, and where he is revealed in Christ. And you know what? The life, this passage says, that life, your life, is hidden in Christ up there. There's a part of you, there are things in you, there are gifts and anointings waiting to unfold in each one of us that they don't get to unfold until we're obedient to walk, to hike, to climb up to that place. Can you go to G? So, Father, we thank you that you never called us to do this alone. We thank you, Lord, that you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. But Lord, that you have revealed to us what real life really is. Help us to put to death that old donut box. Help us to put to death those things that we were living on where you first met us. Lord, forgive us where we've stuffed those things in our pocket and we keep reaching in to take bites because we liked the way it made us felt. We liked it when we were the one up front, when we liked it when we were the one with the title. We liked it when we were the one with our picture on the website or whatever it was. Our name was the name everybody knew. Lord, may we be a church that only cares about your name being the one that everybody knows. Jesus, Jesus. So God, I pray over my brothers and sisters this morning. And Lord, we come together with heaven. And we release, Lord, whatever it is, God, whatever it is that you've called us to next, Lord, that there would be a leveling up among the saints. Lord, that we would leave behind status quo Christianity, that we would leave behind, Lord, that back and forth between the Dunkin' Donuts box and the secret Walmart stash, the secret Cumbie Farms stash under our seat that we reach for when nobody's looking. Lord, help us to leave those things behind and set our sights on that which is above. Come on, sing this with me.
And I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide
open. Come on, envision that place.
I will climb this mountain with my hands.
Nothing.
what I used to do. It used to be the places that I used to go, the things that I used to see. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to.
You know, if you remember that story, if they would ever try to collect a little bit of extra manna, it would be destroyed. The worms, it would mold over. And they'd go to reach for the thing from yesterday, and it didn't taste the same, or it wasn't there, or it made them sick to their stomach. And I think that some of our spiritual illness, some of our spiritual nausea, some of our inability to keep down what it is that he's feeding us now is because we keep feeding ourselves from the past. Even the good things. Even the God-provided things. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, just before we go, if you can just, with your eyes closed, separate yourself from what's behind you. Separate yourself from whatever's at the bottom of the last flight of stairs you came up. For some of you, it was your first flight of stairs. You just met the Lord, and he's just started to leave those breadcrumbs. And you keep picking up a donut hole and looking back at the box of a dozen, and you're thinking, man, there was sure a lot more back there. But if you just let him lead you. Well, Zach, these are getting further and further apart. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. If you're used to living on prophecy, then it doesn't feel very good. But if you're pursuing the kingdom, it's a good sign. Zach, I used to get dreams from the Lord, and I don't get them anymore. That's because your dreams have become a reality. Zach, I used to see visions, and I'm not seeing them anymore. The Lord used to speak to me a certain way, and I don't feel like he's doing it that way anymore. That's a good sign, because he's calling you into a new way. Into a new way. Zach, the Lord used to send me emails or text messages. Yeah, but he's called you to talk to him face to face. He's called you up there. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on. There's nothing I hold on to. 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 And the cherry on top of the whole passage, and then I'll let you go. The cherry on top, or if you're reading, it's at the bottom. The cherry is this, because in him there is no distinction. There's no distinction between priest and parishioner. There's no distinction between pulpit and parking lot. There is no distinction between slave and freeman, Gentile and Jew. There is no distinction. All have been made alive in Christ. You have been made alive in Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.